Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Best in the World with Richard Parr, where each week I speak to an Olympic champion, a world record holder, or a world number one to find out what they do differently from the rest of us and the people who finish second or get silver. We are speaking to the people who win gold and are the best in the world at what they do, the people who are the top of their fields and of their disciplines. And this week I'm speaking to a softball player for the first time, the Olympic champion from the 2004 Athens Olympics. I speak to Natasha Whatley. Natasha talks about a whole range of topics on this week's podcast, in particular about living and training and coaching in Japan. And Natasha has recently retired from playing. She's now a coach in Japan, and she talks about the difficulties of the transition from playing to coaching. And we also push her a little bit further to find out, could she be making a return to the sport? You'll have to listen to this podcast to find out if Natasha is going to be returning to the sport. We talk about how difficult it can be having the cultural differences, say, from living in America to living in Japan. We talk about language. We also talk about the differences in nutrition and diet that is needed for a top athlete like Natasha, an Olympic champion. The three-time world champion also talks about her foundation and what she does to inspire young girls and young athletes to try and get not only into softball but into sport in general. We also talk about the return of softball to the Olympic program. It will be back in Tokyo in 2020, but Natasha missed the chances of winning another gold when it was stripped from the 2012 and 2016 program. And because of that, as she says on the program, she feels that she didn't get a chance to redeem herself, and their team didn't get a chance to redeem themselves after they managed to get silver at the 2008 Games in Beijing. All of that plus much, much more on this week's Best in the World with Richard Parr, with the Olympic softball champion Natasha Whatley. That interview is coming up in just a moment, but I want to say about Audible. Audible is one of the leading suppliers of audiobooks in the world. They've got over 180,000 titles for you to choose from. I've listened to a whole range of audiobooks on Audible on my iPhone. Yes, I'm an iPhone man, but of course you can get Audible on other devices as well, for your iPad, for your Kindle, all different devices you can get Audible. And most recently I have been listening to The Chimp Paradox by Dr. Steven Peters. It's a really fascinating insight into the mind of people, of athletes, of anyone, and how we can train our mind and make ourselves think more clearly and not let the anger and the chimp side of us overwhelm us and take over our decisions. I'm about halfway through, a lot more to listen to, and I think it's a really good book to listen to, especially for me as I'm interviewing these Olympic champions and world champions, and it just gives me more of an informed insight into what goes through the mind of an elite performer, a world champion. So hopefully that can help improve my questions. Of course, if you've got any questions for me, you can send me a message on Twitter at Richard_Parr. But if you want to use Audible, you can do that very easily, and you can do it for free. You can get a free 30-day trial from Audible by going to audibletrial.com/best. That's audibletrial.com/best. Go and check that out. audibletrial.com/best. And that includes one free audiobook download in that 30-day trial. And you could be listening to The Chimp Paradox as well. If you do, let me know what you think of it at Richard_Parr on Twitter. All right, let's get to it. Let's learn from an Olympic champion. It's time to speak to the softball Olympic champion, Natasha Whatley.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Natasha Whatley, Olympic softball champion, welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr. So great to have you on the program. Now, just before we started this chat, I wondered where you were in the world. Why don't you tell us where you are today, Natasha?
Currently in Japan. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, you've been living and working in Japan for quite a few years now, haven't you?
I've been playing here professionally the last 8 years, and I recently retired, and then my team that I played for offered me a coaching job. So this past year, I've been in a new position and I've been coaching. So I've been coaching over in Japan for the last couple months.
Have you found that transition from player to coach?
It's really hard. It's probably one of the hardest things that I've ever done. So it's constantly, daily, I'm questioning, did I make the right decision? I think I could have played one more. Should I come back? It's literally the hardest decision that I've made. And it's really a hard transition. It's hard because it's just so close. Like just like 6 months ago, I was just playing, you know, so.
Any chance of a U-turn?
I've been thinking about it. And it's just kind of coming back in like a more low key role, maybe just for my Japanese team. And, you know, for baseball, softball, we have, you know, what you call a pinch hitter. And so maybe coming back in a role like that and not being starting member or whatnot. But I've been flirting with the idea, and it's just a matter if I'm willing to and ready to commit to that idea, you know.
Is part of that, I'm just thinking out loud here, is part of it is when you're coaching and you're trying to coach people, and obviously you're the best in the world, that's why you're on this podcast, you're an Olympic champion, a silver medalist as well from Beijing. Everything you know how to do, is there a little bit of frustration when you're trying to teach someone else and they're not quite doing what you're trying to tell them, and then you're like, oh, if only I could just be out there, I could just do it myself.
Exactly. You're exactly right. You're like, well, why don't I just do it? I should just do it. And that's part of it. It's literally like, let me just show you. Like, instead of talking about it, let me just show you, you know. But, and then part of it too, it's, you know, watching, and especially what's hard also is that these girls that I'm coaching they were my teammates a couple months ago, you know. So most of them I played with. So it's seeing them together competing and wanting to be able to compete with them as well, you know. So that's part of it as well, is just missing that competition. You know, it's such a hard decision.
Do you think that you might not be feeling as much this way if you'd maybe started coaching with another team, with a whole completely new set of players?
Absolutely. I think that it would make it an easier transition, especially, you know, and say, for instance, if I was coaching younger girls, or, you know, just not something where I feel like I could fit in, you know, or I could do it, you know. I definitely think maybe a brand new team or something like that. But I think, you know, I played with these girls and they have that teammate relationship with them. So I think that makes it a little bit harder as well.
Yeah, I think it can be difficult going from like colleague to boss, can't it, in any job?
Right. It's not fun. It's not, I should say it's fun, it's just, it's not an easy transition.
Yeah. What about living in Japan at all? How easy did you find it, or difficult did you find it, adjusting to the culture, the food, the language?
Oh, gosh. Interesting enough, the transition obviously culture-wise is probably the hardest thing, and you know, that was 8 years ago, so just adjusting to their cultural norms and things of that nature. But in terms of food, I mean, that was the easiest part. the people, Japanese, they're just so hospitable, and they're the most kindest people that you'll ever come across. So they go above and beyond to make you feel comfortable. So I think that was an easy transition, and that's what instantly made me fall in love with, you know, not only my team, but Japanese culture. So the transition, I mean, and was fairly easy. I mean, obviously the hardest blocks were cultural and the language barrier. I think that's obviously was the hardest.
What's your Japanese like now?
It's actually getting better. I mean, now being in this coaching role, I've been forced to use it more. Whereas as a player, you know, I had an interpreter and I kind of, not so much cheated, but just, you know, relied more on her. But it's better than I think it is. And it's getting better.
When you first moved over as a player 8 years ago, what were the things in particular that they did in the Japanese way of playing softball compared to what you had grown up and learnt in America? What were some of the things? Perhaps it was technique, perhaps it was style, perhaps it was training. What were some of the major differences which you think helped you improve as a player when you first moved over?
I would definitely say training style in terms of the amount of hours that are put into training. I mean, Japanese are perfectionists, so, and they are, their training hours are long and strenuous. We practice like at least 5 to 6 hours a day, sometimes seven. And, you know, at home, you know, practices will be, you know, 3 hours at most, maybe four. And, you know, every now and again, you'll have double days. But I think the training schedule was one of the hard things to adapt to, but one of the things that I think, you know, elevated my game was just, you know, literally being able to dedicate so much time to getting better and practicing. I mean, obviously, practice makes perfect. But I think that's probably the biggest thing that I think helped and was a big difference than from at home.
As a softball player, how much of your training is actually practical training, and how much would it be kind of other fitness training or anything like that away from actually being out in the field?
I mean, I think it would be like a 50-50 split. I mean, a lot of time is spent off the field with weight training. Obviously, nutrition goes into that. But I think there's a lot. Softball is such a skill-based sport. So, you know, you spend a lot of time perfecting your swing, your fundamentals, fielding, throwing, if you're a pitcher, pitching. So I think I would say it's a 50-50 split in terms of on the field and off the field training.
That's interesting. A couple of weeks ago on this podcast, we spoke to the pole vaulter, Katarina Stefanidi, and she actually started to do less of the gym work and more of the actual training, and it helped her win a gold medal. So it's interesting what you were saying there about practicing more of the technical skills and everything like that. No, really interesting. You mentioned nutrition there.
Yes.
Give us an idea of what your daily diet would be, both in the US and in Japan, and did it change at all?
Well, definitely change, you know, with being an American and here. Definitely here in Japan, it's definitely carb heavy, you know, with rice and bread. But portion size are different. But I think like a typical day, I mean, if, you know, whether I'm at home or here, you know, I always have eggs, for breakfast, oatmeal. I'm a coffee drinker. I drink coffee. But lunch, I like hot meals. So I like a hot sandwich, salads, eat a lot of vegetables and salads. I love fish. I would definitely think that, I don't know, just with how my lifestyle here is in Japan, it definitely is really routine, but that the times that I eat, you know, because of our practice schedule, like you know, we eat, I have a breakfast, lunch, and dinner at home. I'm kind of on my own schedule. So, you know, I'll have breakfast, but I'll have like a late lunch because I'm, you know, whatever, doing so many different things. So I think being here helps with just, you know, I don't know, being on the schedule like that, just being able to have a breakfast, lunch, dinner, same time, routine. I don't know why, but I feel like I feel better. And I feel like I digest and my metabolism is working better here because I'm constantly working out, moving, and eating on like a regular schedule.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
More from Natasha in just a moment, but I want to remind you that The Best in the World with Rich Bart is now part of the Sportuccino Network. If you haven't already, I would love it if you would go and like our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Sportuccino. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. You can find that using Google. We're also on iTunes and we are also on Twitter at Sportuccino. We're all over social media, Instagram, Snapchat, you name it. Just search for Sportuccino and we are there. I'd really love it if you'd continue to support us because we're going to be bringing you more great sports content as the network develops. And of course, we are delighted to be a part of it with The Best in the World with Richard Parr. All right, let's return to the conversation with the Olympic softball champion, Natasha Whatley.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Would you have any particular routine on the day of a big game or in fact of any game, and what would be part of that routine? And did you have any kind of rituals or any superstitions or anything like that?
Not really. I just really on a game day, I'm all about getting a good breakfast in or a bigger breakfast, obviously, depending on what time the game is. Usually here in Japan, we play day games, so we would either have like a 10:30, 11 o'clock game or a 1 o'clock game. So I guess my routine would be I make sure I get a good breakfast in. I'm a music listener before a game. I like to kind of like be like not wasting much energy before a game, so I'm kind of low-key. I'm not someone who needs to get like a workout in or anything before a game. I like to preserve my energy for a game. But I don't think I'm too routine-y. I mean, I think just pretty simple, just get a good meal in and listen to some tunes before the game.
What are the tunes?
I'm like an R&B hip hop type of girl. So, and I love Beyonce. So anything Beyonce, kind of fires me up. If I can listen to her and kind of hone her in, then I kind of feel like I can, you know, have my little alter ego when it comes game time. So she's my go-to.
Great stuff. Is that, I'm guessing that's more Run the World than some kind of Halo ballad.
Yes. So Run the World, Girls, something like that. Yes.
Try and pump you up.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. She does the trick every time.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely fantastic. Big fan myself. Anyway, let's not talk all about Beyonce. How else do you relax when you're not thinking about softball, Natasha?
Gosh. I like to read. I like to watch movies. Like, literally, when I am away from the field, I really just like to do minimal. Because most of my time is spent doing, you know, high activity or doing something like that. But, even, you know, when I'm in Japan, I try to 10 minutes, at least 10 to 15 minutes a day, pick up my Japanese book and, like, at least try to learn some Japanese or something like that. But, I mean, like, when I'm at home, I'm a family person. You know, I love to go to dinner with family and friends and things like that. I just like to kind of take my mind off the game if I can and just kind of just do something that's, I would say, considered low key.
Because of course you're very busy, not just with the softball. And, you know, when I was doing my research, you've got the Natasha Whatley Foundation, Softball League, 5K, 10K runs. You've got a lot going on there. How good are you at looking after your schedule at times?
I don't even know how I do it, you know. It's just, but I think that I like being busy, and then I like, you know, having that balance of, you know, relaxing, doing nothing. So, yes, you know, I do have my nonprofit that, you know, especially now I'm spending more time doing it now that I'm moved into this coaching role and not so much focused on training and stuff like that. So definitely that's, you know, something that's fun and fulfilling because I'm giving back to my community, and that makes me proud, and it's like easy work. So I guess it's relaxing. It doesn't seem like, although it's a hectic schedule, it seems worth it and fulfilling, and I don't mind doing it. I enjoy doing it. So it doesn't seem as bad.
I know you're doing quite a lot of speaking right now, and a lot behind your foundation and your nonprofit is giving self-esteem, confidence, social skills to young girls. What is the one piece of advice that you seem to give the most to them?
The girls that I'm coming in touch with are ones that aren't, one, coming in touch with softball on a regular basis, and two, that may not, you know, be playing sports or whatnot. And so I really encourage them to, you know, get involved in sports, play sports. Specifically, obviously, I'm a little bit biased because that's something that has shaped my life, but literally, and whatever it is, you know, I do encourage them for, you know, the health benefits of what it brings and what it does for character building in terms of bringing, you know, self-confidence to yourself, playing in sports, all of those tangibles that you receive playing sports. So I encourage them to play sports, but whatever it is that they're doing, just to be, you know, find something that they're passionate about, because literally, like, when you find something that you're passionate about, it really narrows in on your focus, and it kind of steers you clear of the distractions in life, and, you know, it can kind of set you on a road to success, whatever it is, but kind of find that passion or whatever it is and try. I'm always encouraging them to try different things, you know, just, you know, I'm always, you know, yes, try softball first, but, you know, whatever it is, if it's soccer, dancing, but just find that passion and try different things and stay busy. And it could lead you down a road that you never thought you would go down.
Tell us about when softball became your passion, Natasha. Give us an idea of your early life and interest in the sport.
I fell in love with softball like right away. I started playing when I was 5, and it was the first sport that I started playing and fell in love with it instantly. And I fell in love with it because of all of the different skills that you could be good at. I ended up playing basketball and volleyball later on, but with those sports, I found, like, I don't know, you generally have to be tall, or with track you have to be fast. And I just love softball because, like, all my teammates were all different, you know, different shapes, sizes. You know, you didn't necessarily have to be tall. You didn't have to be short. You could be a great pitcher. There were just so many different things that you could do to contribute to your team, and I think that's what drew me to it. So I, from the get-go, I instantly fell in love with softball the moment I started playing it at age five, so long ago.
And you said that it's a sport that you don't need to be tall, you don't need to have any specific attributes in particular, but obviously you went on to become one of the best in the world, Olympic champion. What do you think are some of the attributes that you had that has made you so good?
Honestly, I would say, I mean, yeah, okay, yes, I maybe was a fast runner or a great hitter or whatever it was, but I just really think it was that competitive edge, just wanting to be better than I was the day before, and I wanted to beat whoever I was playing. It literally was like that competitive edge, and I think that's probably like a trait amongst all Olympians, is just wanting to be the best. And it's like almost as if it's an addiction that happens, where it's just like the addiction of wanting to win all the time, and the addiction of wanting to be the best. And I think that's kind of the thing that I feel like was my biggest attribute. Like, it's just, I always wanted to just win and do good and be better than I was, you know, the day before. And I think that was something that was throughout my career.
Very interesting. Well, let's talk about when you did become the best, when you did become an Olympic gold medalist in 2004. Of course, you're also a three-time world champion, but let's talk about those 2004 games. Give us an idea of that experience for you, Natasha.
Gosh, well, the Olympics, I mean, it's like literally the thing that you dream about. And I feel like my first Olympics, it happened so fast because it was almost surreal. Like, you know, is this really happening? And, you know, leading up to it, you're just preparing. You don't really know what to expect when you get to the Olympics. So I feel like when it came, I was so, you know, as I should be, as anybody should be, I was so focused on my competition and the games that I didn't really, like, take in the Olympic experience as much as I don't remember a lot when I go back. Obviously, I do remember winning a gold medal and standing on the podium and winning and looking at my flag and all of those things. But like before that, it was literally like a flash. So, but you know, I did go back in 2008, and in 2008, like I, you know, made it a point for myself to literally like take in the moments and, you know, cherish the Olympic movement. And I really, you know, feel like 2008, I actually remember things that happened, you know, beyond the softball field. And it's actually interesting because in 2008, we lost the gold medal game, won a silver medal. And, you know, although winning a silver medal, I remember the games a little bit more. And I remember, you know, just opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies, the village, and, you know, mingling with other athletes. So I think I took more from the experience, although winning a silver medal, you know, winning any medal is obviously an accomplishment, but, you know, if you have to, you know, think about it. But in 2004, winning a gold medal, you know, I just didn't really, I don't know. I don't really remember the Olympic experience that much.
All about the focus.
It was a blur. Yeah.
Yeah. How was everyone after you got that silver medal in Beijing?
It was horrible. I mean, it was horrible because that's literally like what you work for 4 years. So at the time, it seems like such a disappointment and dissatisfied, unhappy, you know, like because you're a competitor, you know, you want to win and that's what we came there to do and you didn't win. But, you know, in hindsight now, obviously, it is an accomplishment, like to be able to play on that platform and play at that stage. You know, you're able to keep it in perspective. And, you know, now looking back, it's, yes, I did win a silver medal, you know. But, you know, in the moment, at the time, it's, I mean, obviously it's still frustrating. And I, you know, I would, you know, there's so many times that game, you know, I still think about things that, you know, we could have done differently or whatnot. But at the end of the day, you know, I was able to represent my country and I was able to play at the highest stage. And that is something I'm very proud of.
Is it even more frustrating that you didn't get a chance of redemption with the fact that softball not being at the 2012 and 2016 games?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, and even more so now, it's sad because, you know, I did continue on with my softball career. That's, you know, after 2008 is when I did come to Japan and made the decision to, you know, continue playing and play here. And it's sad because, you know, one, didn't get the redemption. Two, you know, there's possibilities that I could have been, you know, 3-4-time Olympian and been able to go back, you know, multiple times, but to be able to, not to be able, but to have that, you know, kind of taken away, you know, that opportunity taken away, it's just kind of, it's just taken from underneath your feet, and it's kind of like something that you have no control over, and nothing that you can't do anything about it. So it's kind of one of those things as an athlete where I felt like, you know, helpless, and just literally that's our highest stage and the biggest platform to play softball, and like to have that taken away, it's kind of, you know, it's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling.
I can understand that. And of course it is returning in 2020 though, in the country that you're playing in now.
Yeah, in Tokyo, which is going to be super exciting, and so excited that it's coming back, and that softball athletes will get the opportunity to play at that stage. Because literally, I mean, there's nothing that can compare to playing in that arena.
Now, we spoke about your transition from playing to coaching. How did it feel when you played that last game, or what you're saying was possibly your last game now, Natasha?
I know. Which is funny. Well, at the time, I mean, I didn't know I was going to retire until the season was over. I made the decision after, and that's one of the things I did the last couple years, because, you know, I knew I was coming towards the end of my career, and every year I just was like, at the end of the season, I will assess and, you know, think about the next year. But now, you know, thinking about my last game, like, we won championship. It was on my birthday. It was literally, you know, like a storybook ending. I had an RBI, a winning hit. So it's literally like, I don't know. I think those moments of how the season ended kind of made my decision a little bit easier to move towards retirement. So very happy with how my last actual game was. So I probably shouldn't come back.
Well, whatever you decide to do, Natasha, I'm sure it'll be successful. It's been really good to talk to you on the program today. Before you go, why don't you tell us how we can continue to follow everything that you do, and also what is going on with your foundation and everything related to that on the internet and on social media, please, Natasha?
Well, obviously, social media on Instagram, you can follow me, Natasha Watley 29. The foundation is NW Foundation on Instagram as well. And you can Twitter. All my handles are all the same, Natasha Watley 29. And, you know, reach out. I love to chat on Twitter, Instagram. I'm always on social media. So that's where you can find me.
Fantastic. Well, it's been really good to talk to you, Natasha Watley. Thank you for being the best in the world.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Really good to speak to Natasha in Japan, but of course we've had other great American athletes and sports stars on The Best in the World with Richard Parr. Maybe you want to go back and listen to my interview with the shot put Olympic champion Michelle Carter. I've also spoken to a lot of American swimmers. Maybe you want to listen to my conversation with Lenny Kreiselberg.
Joe Jacoby, the canoe slalomist, he's been on the program as well. And we've had many, many more great guests on the program. Go and listen to it on iTunes. And please subscribe if you haven't already so you never miss a podcast. I want to make sure that you have this incredible knowledge in your pocket, on your phone, on whatever device you're using, wherever you go, available for you every single week. We're broadcasting on a Thursday on iTunes. Go and download and subscribe. Also, if you get a moment, I would love it if you give us a rating and review. That really does matter a lot to the growth of the podcast. The more rating and reviews we get, the higher we become on iTunes, the higher we're on iTunes, the more people listen to the program, the more we can spread this incredible knowledge from these champions, and the easier it is for us to attract more great Olympians and world champions to learn from. So please give me a rating and review. It only takes about a minute. You know, if you go to the right place, just give me a review. It only takes 1 minute. I would really appreciate it. All right, that's it for this week's The Best in the World with Richard Parr. I've got another great guest for you next Thursday on iTunes, on Acast, and at sportacino.com. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful week. Take care. Goodbye.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.